very special thank you to our sisters for coming and singing those lovely old gospel hymns. And we trust the Lord will bless those messages and song to every heart and to every soul, and that each and every one will know what it is to be redeemed, to be cleansed, to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. We thank the girls for coming. We trust the Lord will richly bless them as they sing for the Lord, that the Lord will lead them on with Himself and use them for His honour and for His glory. We're going to turn again to that passage of Scripture we read a little earlier, please, to 1 John and to the chapter number 1. We're turning tonight to 1 John chapter number 1. And with God's Word open before us, let us just unite, please, in a short word of prayer. I encourage you to pray tonight, Lord, speak to me. You're not saved tonight. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. I know that this very night you'd be saved by calling upon the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us this evening. We thank Thee for the gospel hymns. We thank Thee for the ministry and song, and for these old hymns and gospel pieces that have been brought to us tonight. And Lord, bless these truths to every heart and to every soul. And bless our sisters as they would sing for the Lord, and lead them on with Thyself. And Lord, as we turn now to Thy Word, to Thy truth, we pray, Lord, that Thou will close us in with Thyself tonight. Shut out every distracting care and thought that is not of Thee. And Lord, just use Thy Word this night to make souls wise unto salvation. To this end, O God, cleanse me afresh in the blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. And Lord, we pray that Thy Word tonight would be the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces, that it would be that Word to make souls wise and to be saved. And in all that is said and done tonight, may our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, have all the glory, for it is in His precious and worthy name that we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen and amen. Now our text for this evening is the verse number 9 of 1 John and the chapter number 1. Let us just read that verse with you again. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, on one occasion, one of John Wesley's faithful preachers, who had 7 dependent children, was put in prison. During court proceedings concerning that man, one of his prosecutors said, this man is well enough in other things, but the gentleman cannot stand his impudence. Why, sirs, he says, he knows his sins are forgiven him. Now, in the midst of the trials and the difficulties of life, that faithful servant of God of a bygone day and a bygone generation could rejoice, and he could testify and tell of the forgiveness, the pardon of all of his sins. And friends, the great hope of the gospel is that in this world, in this scene of time, hell-deserving, guilty sinners like you and I can know our sins are forgiven by God. The psalmist David had that wonderful assurance in his heart. Speaking to the Lord in Psalm 130, he said this, but there is forgiveness with Thee, that Thou mayest be feared. He knew the forgiveness of his sins. My many in ancient Israel had that same assurance. The Word of God says of the Lord in His dealings with ancient Israel, it says, but He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity. And likewise, the man sick of the palsy, the man whom the Lord healed, had that same wonderful hope in his heart and in his soul. For when the Lord healed him of his physical ailment, the Lord also said, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. He knew his sins all forgiven. And now we can say tonight that the forgiveness of sins is one of the chief blessings, yes, the chiefest of blessings, that flows from God's so great salvation to sinners. My, this is a blessing to be received. This is a blessing to be enjoyed. This is a blessing to be proclaimed this side of the eternity of God. By Thomas Watson, one of the great Puritan preachers of a bygone day, he said, "Forgiveness is a golden thread spun out of the bowels of God's free grace." Indeed, one speaking of the Christian life and the child of God, he said, "Our religion is the religion of the forgiven." And in our text tonight here in 1 John chapter 1 and the verse 9, the Apostle John speaks to you and I about this great blessing of the forgiveness of sins. I wonder tonight, as you sit in our meeting, as you've heard the gospel sung, as you've sung together with us the gospel hymns, and as God has been speaking to your heart and to your soul, can you say, "Yes, preacher, that's my portion tonight. It's well with my soul. Praise God, my sins are forgiven. Praise God, I'm ready for heaven." Well, if you look at this verse before us tonight, you'll see that John tells us three wonderful things about the forgiveness of God. And it is these truths I want to share with you and to set before you in this gospel meeting tonight. Notice, first of all, with me here, the blessing of God's forgiveness. John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you see there from those words that there is a double blessing for all those whose sins are forgiven by God. There is the blessing of justification. Notice what John says of the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You see, whenever God saves us by His grace, what does He do? He forgives all our sins. No sin is left unpardoned. My, you know, God's pardon is not limited by the number of our sins. It is not limited by the heinousness or the depravity of our sin. My, just as the sea can easily drown 1,000 men as one man, so God pardons all our sins, whatever our sins are, when He saves us by His mighty, matchless grace. You think of those tremendous words of invitation that God gave to ancient Israel. The people who had turned their back upon Him, who had gone away from Him. Yet God in grace and in mercy comes to them. He speaks to them. He beckons to them. He invites them. He calls them. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What a promise He offered them there through those words. The promise of the forgiveness of all of their sins. Friend, in our meeting tonight, no matter what your sin is this evening, no matter what your sin has been in your life, God can forgive all your sin. You see, God's pardoning grace is full. There's no limit. God's pardoning grace is free. Think of what the psalmist David said about his pardon in Psalm 103 in the verse 3. Speaking of what God had done for him, he says of the Lord, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. He knew the forgiveness of all of his sins. The hymn writer could say, "My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. O my soul." That man was rejoicing in the fact that God had forgiven all his sins. And praise God, He can forgive you tonight all your sins. He can pardon all your iniquities and pardon them forever. Such is the greatness of the grace of God. What's the Lord's promise to every soul He saves? In Hebrews 8 and the verse 12, this is what His Word says. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. He can pardon all your sins. Pardon them forever. My Richard I, he promised a pardon to the man who had fired the arrow which was to take his very life. He promised that man a pardon. However, after Richard I died, the man who fired the fatal arrow was taken and he was executed. Dear friend, whenever God pardons your sin, He pardons your sin forever.
And in His grace, He never retracts that pardon. Listen to what the prophet Micah says to God about God's forgiveness to His people. He says in Micah chapter 7 and the verse 19, he says, "Thou hast cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Think of it. Think of going out to the deepest part of the ocean. Maybe you have a coin in your hand or a precious gem or a stone, and you fling it as far as you can fling it out into the deepest part of the ocean. And it sinks down into the depths of the ocean, never to be found anymore. Friend, that's what God does for you when He pardons your sin. He casts all your sin, as it were, into the sea of His eternal forgiveness. Yes, there's the blessing here of justification for those whom God forgives, but there's also the blessing of sanctification. Notice what else John says here in our text about the Lord. He says, "He is faithful and just to cleanse us," he says, "from all unrighteousness." My, by His Holy Spirit, God purifies the hearts of all whom He sees. He cleanses that pardoned soul from the pollution of its sin by the precious blood of Christ. What does the Bible say in verse 7 of this great chapter? "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." What did God promise to all those whom He saves in the book of Ezekiel? He said this, "And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. And a new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will cause ye to walk in My statutes." He was promising them a new life. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and the verse 10, he lists the catalogue of sins. And then he says this, "But such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified." Yes, God justifies, He forgives all whom He saves, but He also sanctifies, He cleanses all whom He saves. Turn with me just back to Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse number 14. And look at what you read there about the power of the precious blood of Christ. Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse number 14. It says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" What power there is in the blood of Christ. Oh, dear friend, tonight in His pardoning grace, God, yes, is able to forgive all your sins. And He is able, as it says in our text tonight, to cleanse you from all your sin, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He can make you whole. He can make you clean. He can change your life. Yes, we see here the blessing of God's forgiveness. But notice secondly tonight from this verse, notice the certainty of God's forgiveness. Look again at what John says in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 1. He says, "If we confess our sins, He," that's the Lord, "is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." My, the certainty of this forgiveness is bound up in two words there. The word "faithful" and the word "just" that John uses to describe a God to us. We can say tonight that forgiveness is certain. Why? Because God is true. And God is faithful to all His promises. You see, the Bible says all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. In other words, God promises to pardon all the sin of those whom He saves. That's His promise. Now, in war times, maybe pardon has been promised only maybe to catch offenders that have been in hiding. Well, God cannot lie. God is true to His word. And friend, the Lord is able to save you from all your sin. Why? Because He is faithful. You can depend upon the promise of His word for Him to forgive all your sins, to forgive all your iniquities when He saves you by His grace. This promise is certain. Why? Because God is faithful. God is true to His word. God never breaks His word. He never breaks His promise. God cannot lie. And when God promises to forgive your sins when He saves you by His grace, He will keep His promise. That promise can never be disannulled. It can never be broken. But we can also say tonight that this forgiveness is certain. Why? Because God is just. In respect to the substitutionary work of Christ for all His people. You see, in this life, what did Christ do? He kept the law of God perfectly for all His people. The Bible speaks of Christ and it says He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And then on the cross, what did Jesus do? He bore the judgment of God that all His people deserve for their sins. Remember what the prophet Isaiah says of that work upon the cross? He says of Christ, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. And my, as God is just, God will accept. And my, God will pardon all who trust in the blood and the righteousness of Christ alone for their salvation. The Bible speaks of God in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 20. And this is what the Apostle Paul says, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. My, someone has once said that the cross work of Christ is the cost of my forgiveness. It's been through the cross work of Christ that person says that I've been forgiven. Think of what the hymn writer said of Christ. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good that we might go at last to heaven, saved by His precious blood. On one occasion, Napoleon spared a man's life because of the plea of mercy from that man's daughter. Well, friend, the blood and the righteousness of Christ, what does it do? It cries out for mercy towards the penitent sinner who comes to rest and to trust in that blood and in the righteousness of Christ. The Bible speaks of the Lord and it says His righteousness endureth forever. Praise God, God can pardon all your sins. He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Why? Because of the mercy that is found in the blood of Christ and in the righteousness of Christ alone. You know, in the blood of a man is shed in murder or cold blood, cries out for vengeance, cries out for judgment. Indeed, God will judge all who have taken the life of others. But my, when the blood of Christ has been shed, that blood cries out for mercy. It cries out for pardon. It cries out for life. And friend, God is just. God is faithful to His covenant. God is just and faithful to the finished work of Christ. You put your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, the Lamb of God. God will forgive all your sins. You see, this forgiveness is certain. Yes, we see the certainty of it, that God forgives sins. We see the blessing of it. But notice finally tonight from this text the way for us to receive this forgiveness. Notice how John begins our text tonight. Notice the first three words. If we confess. He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What's John saying there? He's saying this, that there's no reception of this pardon, there is no forgiveness of sins without confession of sins. That's what he's saying here. The Bible says over in the book of Proverbs, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Dear friend, if you are to know God forgiving your sins through the blood and righteousness of Christ, you must confess your sins to God. You must confess your sins to the Lord. You must own your sins to God. This confession means you acknowledging your sins to God. Listen to what David said in Psalm 32 in the verse 5. He said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, Mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. He confessed his sin to the Lord. There was once an evangelist laboring for the Lord in the land of Scotland, and he had a camera with him, and young boy saw him, and they asked, would he take a photograph of them? Began to speak to them and to witness to them and open up the Word of God to them. And he said, I have got God's photograph of you. God's photograph of your heart, of your life before them. And he opened up the Word of God at Romans chapter 3. In the verses 22 and 23, and he read these words, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He wanted them to see themselves as sinners before God. Friend, if you are to be saved and know this part, and you must own your sin, confess your sin to God, tell me, have you ever confessed your sins to God? We're not talking about other people now, we're talking about you. Between you and God, have you ever confessed your sins to God? This confession means you loathing your sin before God. Remember what old Job said? He said, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. He didn't take any delight in his sin. He loathed his sin. May it hurt him. My friend, this confession means you being ashamed and sorrowful for your sin before God. Remember the prodigal son when he came back. He said, Father, I have sinned against heaven. I'm no more worthy to be called thy servant. He was ashamed of his sin before God. We're living in a day when there's no shame in sin anymore with many. Friend, if you're to be saved and know your sins forgiven, then before God, you must own your sin, confess your sin. Be ashamed of your sin before the Lord. This confession, it means you repenting of your sin. It means an earnest desire for you to turn from your sin. Turning your Bible back, please, to Isaiah chapter 55. And I want you to see very carefully here what the Lord says about repentance and about pardon, how the two are linked together. Isaiah chapter 55, and look with me at verse number 7. God says, let the wicked forsake his way. That's repentance. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Tell me, are you willing to repent of your sin? To turn from your sin? To turn away from your sin, to own your sin, to confess your sin, to acknowledge your sin before God. We can also say that this confession means you resting by faith alone, the finished work of Christ alone, for your salvation. Think of what Paul said as he spoke to the people at Ephesus of Christ. He said, of Christ in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He was resting in the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all of his sins. He acknowledged his sin. He declared himself to be the chiefest of sinners. And he knew that that sin could only be dealt with and put away by the blood of the cross. My, just as the high priest would confess the sin of Israel, rest upon the scapegoat in the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. My friend, you must rest upon Christ alone. Confess your sins to him alone. And look to his blood alone to pardon. To blot out your sins before God. Let me say this tonight. If you're not willing to confess your sins to God, you're deceiving yourself. You're denying the Lord. You're denying the Word of God. Notice carefully what John says here in verse 8. And verse 10 of this same chapter, he says, if we say that we have no sin, notice it. He says, and we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Look at verse 10. He says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Dear friend, you're deceiving yourself if you're not willing to confess your sin to God. You're denying the Word of God. You're denying the Lord. And in the state you remain under the guilt of your sin. under the condemnation of your sin. And if you die in your sin, you will perish forever in a lost sinner's hell. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But praise God, if you confess your sin to God, rest upon the blood of Christ alone for pardon, God will hear your cry. God will forgive all your sin. The Bible says He will be very gracious unto thee. And the voice of thy cry, He shall hear it. He will answer thee. Tell me, has God ever heard that cry going up from your soul? Be merciful to me, a sinner. Has He ever heard that cry of confession, that acknowledgement of sin before God? Has He ever heard that cry, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, save me from my sin by your precious blood? Has He ever heard that cry from your heart? At the age of 19, a young man by the name of Al Johnson, he robbed a bank in Kansas City. Later on, he married a Christian girl. He himself pretended to be a Christian. Then in the course of married life, he was given a gospel leaflet called God's Plan of Salvation. And he read these tremendous words in Romans 10 verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As he read those words, God began to speak to his heart and to deal with him. He knew that he could be saved from his sin, that he could be forgiven all his sin by God. And under great conviction of sin, he confessed his sin to God. He sought pardon through the blood of Christ. His life was changed by the grace of God. He confessed his crime to the authorities that he'd committed in the past. Repaid the money that he'd stolen from the bank. And through God's pardoning grace and mercy, he went on to be a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. God saved him. God forgave his sin. God pardoned his iniquity. What does our text say tonight? If we confess our sins, He, that's the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh friend, if you are to know God's pardon, whoever you are in this meeting tonight, unsaved, then you must heed the text. You must heed the Word of God. You must confess your sins to the Lord. It's not confessing to a minister or to a pastor or to an evangelist or to a priest, no. It's you confessing your sins to the Lord and asking the Lord to cleanse you from all sin in the blood of Christ and the blood of the Lamb. What are you going to do tonight with the Lord? Will you reject Him? Will you turn your back upon Him? And this night, will you heed the word of the Lord and the gospel? Will you come to the Lord for pardon, for peace, and for forgiveness? Oh, may God tonight bless you and help you to come for Jesus' sake. We're going to just close our meeting tonight.